Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, evening, friend. Here's your friendly announcer. I have serious news to pass on to everybody. What I'm about to say could mean the world's disaster, could change your joy and laughter to
the Hodge to Hodge podcast, The Messenger, where we have, there's a trio of brothers, and we have two of the amazing brothers, co-producers Ken and Ron Hodge, Rondaya Hodge. This is Nurse Carmen, and tonight we'll have The Messenger sharing what the world needs is more love. So introducing our messenger, Rondaya Hodge.
Good evening. Good evening to the podcast audience. It is truly, once again, an honor to be before you. Tonight, we are coming from the source. What is the source? The source is where we receive the spirit that dwells within us. The source is God. What we call God. The source is the creator of this entire universe. And I come tonight to let us all know that we are all part of the source. And because we are part of the source, we have to come to the understanding that there is nothing that we can't have, or there is nothing that we can't do. Because when we really get in tune with who we are, we come to realize that we created all of this. We are a part of the creation. We are creators, which makes us the source. And if those that can't comprehend that, I still recommend, if anybody get a chance, to watch the movie The Matrix. And it kind of breaks it down to a different way to look at it, but it's still dealing with just who it is that we are. We have to get in tune, and I can't say that enough. about how important it is for us to get in tune with who it is that we really are. And when we begin to get in tune with who we really are, then you can better understand what it is that I'm trying to relate to us, so that we know that we don't have to walk in fear. We don't have to be afraid of anything.
Hey, brother messenger.
Yes, sir.
Your audio is really breaking up. Can we adjust that?
Yeah, give me a second here.
Little musical interlude while the messenger gets his mic together.
Thank you. Monary
friend, is your friendly announcer. I am serious too.
Good evening. Is this better?
Yes.
Okay.
I still got background feed from you, but it's a little clearer.
Okay, how about that? Is that better now?
Yeah, that's good.
Okay. I just wanted to go back to the point of us being the source. For us to understand that we have great authority, that there is nothing that we can't do. And we need to begin to put that into our mindset so that we can begin to strive to be more than what we are. And I know we're working on it constantly, but it's something that we've got to pretty much retrain ourselves, because of all the stuff that we've been told over the years, we have to be able to get that out and bring in the new, because there is new information for us. There is another way. There is a way that we can have whatever it is that we desire. There is nothing that we can't do. And as I've said many times, there is nothing that we don't know. We just have to remember to call it to our remembrance. Because of who we are, we put this together, and we just have to remember that. We have to come to know it, and then we can call it back. If you remember, there is scripture that says the Spirit will bring back to you all things. Because the Spirit knows all things, because the Spirit is a part of all things. And I say that, but it's important for us to understand that we are all one. We are one with God. We are one with Jesus. We are one with Buddha. We are one with Hitler. We are one. And we have to come to understand that. And the only way we can truly understand and accept that is to go within, so that you can get in touch with yourself. There's a song that we play periodically opening up the podcast by Brother Stevie Wonder, saying, "Have a talk with God." And if we take that time to have that talk with God, then we can better understand. When you hear these words that are being said, there is something that will come over you, because then you'll be able to understand and realize that the most important thing, we try to figure out just who and what God is. I'm going to give you guys another definition for God. God was given to us by our ancestors and passed down, but God is life. Every living thing is God because God is life. And so that's powerful information that we've got to come to understand. And when we understand that, then we can better understand when I say that we are all one, because life is all one. Every living thing was created by a living thing. And because it was created by a living thing, it has the part of the living thing because it is life. And that is so applicable to us. We've got to let go of that thinking that we are separate from God. There is no way we can be separate from God. Because as I stated, God is life. And every living thing is a part of God. And this is one of the things that has me so vexed with religions and stuff of that nature. It says so. It says so in the writings and stuff, but because of our limited thinking and understanding at that time, we just rolled with it, and we thought that we were separate from God. Even though in Scripture it says, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. But they've taken that to mean that he will never leave you once you become whatever it is that they say, once you become saved, and there is nothing for us to be saved from. But these are the all kinds of things in which they have indoctrinated us to believe. And so we find ourselves thinking that we are separate. And on our last podcast, I tried to give the illustration of an ocean. And when you look at an ocean, if you look at an ocean and then when the waves come up and it does whatever it is that it does, it's still part of the ocean. And then when the wave is finished doing whatever it is that the wave does, it goes right back into the ocean. And I got to tell everyone that that is exactly how it is with us and God. We cannot be separated from God, regardless to what it is that people tell you. You've got to go within to truly know this. And this is why I ask daily for the podcast listeners to have that time where you do some meditation. I ask you to have that time where you have that communion with God. And the more you do the meditation, the more that you have communion with God, the more you will be able to see God at work. And not only just in you, but God at work in the grass, in the trees, in every living thing. You will see God at work. And as you begin to see God at work, what will really happen as we continue to grow, we will see us at work. We will see us in the birds. We will see us in the grass. And I know that sounds far off, but we've got to understand to the point that this life that we're living right now is only a small speckle in the grand scheme of things. We have to understand that we are a part of all of this that's happening. We have to understand that we are God expression. We are God as God experiences living. As God Amen. Experiences life. This is what we are. And it's time for us to start walking in that knowledge. And throughout our lives, we've had different periods of time where we've been able to experience this, but we've let it go to the thinking that that superhuman man that's bigger and better and badder than all of us is actually in control. And if it ain't him, it's the little spooky guy with the pitchfork over there, that those two are in control.
But you have to come to understand that it is you that is in control. Any and mm-hmm. everything that goes on in your life, it goes on because of you.
Amen.
And this is something that and I'm on it a little hard today because today I visited a church today. I won't tell nobody why, but I visited a church today.
I already know why.
Don't lie, my brother. It's okay.
Okay. I already know why.
Amen.
All right, but I sit there and the minister, he was sincere. Yeah,
he went to church today because my mother goes to church, and he takes my mother to church.
You're a good son, messenger.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
Yes, he is. Yes, they are.
Right,
the both
right,
of them.
Okay, hey, but it's good that you guys said that because I want you to think about what it is that Jesus said. Didn't Jesus say that there is none good but God?
Amen.
This is what this is what I mean by religion. The words are there to try to help us, but we won't give it its true meaning. And when Jesus said there is none good but God, all he was saying is when you do good, it is the God in you that's doing it.
Amen.
It's not some other person somewhere that we want to call God that sits up on a throne somewhere. It is the God in you that the good comes out. But we've taken that to mean something totally different, that no matter what we do, it's not good. And this is just not so. This was not part of the plan when we started this whole thing. We didn't start this right here so that everybody can mess up. And we had to beg and plead God for him to take us back in. We have to understand that is not God's intention. They placed that on God, but that is not God's intention. God didn't do that. He put us here in the separate. He loved us so much, according to the stories, that he sent his only begotten son. Now, if you send your son to die for somebody, you've got to have some love for him.
Amen.
And if you've got that love for him, how are these things that they put before us, how is that enough there for him to turn his back on us? And we've accepted this, even though in our minds we know better. But because mama told us, grandmama told us, we accept it to be fact. And we won't let it go, even though with the knowledge that we have, we know better. I just want to tell you, I was speaking with Sister Carmen earlier, but I was telling her about the sermon. He spoke about Samson and Delilah.
Mm.
He talked about how God saw favor in Samson, that he gave him extra strength, and the strength was in his hair. And because he told Delilah that the strength was in his hair, she cut it off, and all of his powers was gone.
Mm.
Think about these stories that we've been growing up over the years believing. And then he went before God and asked God to give him strength one more time so that he could kill thousands of people. And we believe this story.
Mm.
That God said, okay, I'm going to give you enough strength. Even though they put it on a stone that I told you not to kill anybody, I'm going to give you power to kill people.
Mm.
But my co-producer, please explain to me how you think that's possible.
Because it's not possible.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's how if thou shalt not kill, then I'm not going to equip you, even with your free will, with the ability to kill, because I said you can't do that.
Right.
I mean, if we're going to go you know, back to the commandments, and again,
right.
a commandment, a directive from the Creator. If I said
right.
you can't do that, again, you have free will to do a lot of things, but if we take at face value the commandments, your free will is not going to allow you to disobey the Creator. So I think that's not possible.
Anyone with any kind of rationality about them would understand that there's something wrong with that, and so that is a fallacy that has been brought down to us. Another fallacy is that we are separate from God. As I've said to us on numerous podcasts, it is impossible.
Right.
Impossible for us to be separated from God.
Right.
Just as it's impossible for us to be separated from ourselves.
Hmm. Right
so I
now.
Know these stories that we've been told, they run long and deep and stuff, but it's time for us to get out of that thinking. We've got to get out of that thinking and get to the thinking of who we really are. And that goes back to the source. And as I was speaking on Thursday, I was saying how we've got to understand that there is a way. And what we have to learn and understand is that we can be the source. We are the source. That's why we can be it, because we are the source. And when I say that, people automatically think, well, I don't have millions and millions of dollars. But it's not all about money. You can be the source for joy. You can be the source for food. You can be the source for laughter, for comfort. But you can be the source. Whatever it is that you desire, whatever it is that you desire, be that. If you desire more love, be loving. Be more loving. Because when you show love, what do you get in return?
Love.
You send out love, you get love back.
Amen.
And you get love back. And that's what it is with everything. And this is part of how they have taken the giving thing and tied it into this tithe thing. And because people are seeing, quote unquote, for lack of a better word, something on their a return on their giving, they think that that is the way. Because when you give, you shall receive. It's a universal law. No matter who you are, he reigns on the just as well as the unjust. In their scripture readings and stuff, that's one of the things that they say, that he reigns on the just as well as the unjust. Now, first of all, we have to make it clear, there is no he. But the universe is set up where it's automatic. I don't care what you do. If you go out and kill 10 people right now and the next day you go and show love, that love's coming back to you. And 10 people that you kill, the consequences of that is coming back to you as well. But the love is going to come back to you too.
Mm-hmm.
You can't stop it. This is how we set it up. This is how it was set up from the beginning. And we've got to see this in our daily lives to understand this. This is why we are blessed. We just have to be a blessing.
Amen.
Think about how many times, just out of the goodness of your heart, you've been able to help somebody in any way whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
And if you really think about it, think about how it came back to you. I'll give you a quick example just to show you. The other day, I think it was last Thursday I was at work, and I can't tell Sister Carmen this, but I ordered a pizza. and one of the guys, I ordered a whole pizza, and one of the guys, he wanted to go half on me with the pizza. And I said, no, this is on me. So I brought the pizza. And it's funny because when I got home, guess what was at home? A whole pizza. Coincidence? What do you think?
Came back.
There is no such thing as a coincidence. We have to understand that.
That's right.
And that's just a simple example for me to show you just how it works. And it works like that a lot of times, as I said numerous occasions, subconsciously for us. And so what we've got to do is we've got to be conscious of what we're doing. So if that means before I do anything, I stop and I address it with myself, then so be it. And if we do that, then our footsteps are being ordered or guided by God. It's just that simple. So instead of rash decisions, stop for a moment. Have that personal conversation. And if you listen, you'll get an answer just like that. The better you listen, the quicker you'll hear that answer. And a lot of times we already know it. We just have to start doing it. How many of us know there's some things we should be doing, but we're not doing them?
Okay. Amen.
I do. Amen.
So the Spirit has already revealed it to you, what it is that you really should be doing. But we've said, for whatever reason or another, no, not right now, or maybe the next time, I'm going to do it my way, this time or that way. And so we deal with, because we didn't be obedient to what it was that the Spirit was saying, we did something different. Now, mind you, that it's all good.
Right.
It's just you've got to understand that what you did might have a different type of a reaction or consequence than you really expected, because you weren't obedient to what it was that the Spirit was trying to tell you, which would have gave you the greatest gift of the higher you. You didn't take that advice. And that advice is, as you can see, because we didn't do it, is not being forced upon you. Because, once again, as the co-producer said, we've got this thing called free will. And it's truly free. People think we need these rules and laws and stuff to guide us. And truthfully, we really don't. And what we do on so many different occasions is we are more obedient to the rules and guidelines that people have set up for us than what it is that the Spirit is telling you. And there is nothing that wants to better you than the Spirit, because the Spirit knows who you are and it knows what it is that you're capable of. But we won't be obedient to the Spirit because it's not what we wanted it to be, because we're letting our mind dictate instead of letting our soul. I've said to us before that one of the things we've got to be mindful of is our mind, because our mind has limited data. If you think about it, whenever something happens, I'll give you a good example. Let's say you see a homeless person out in the street. First thought comes to your mind is, you know what, I'm going to give them $5. Then you go into your pocket and then you start saying, you know what, then the mind starts working. Maybe you better not give them $5, just give them $1. So what has happened now is the mind has already changed what it is that the soul has already asked you to do. So we've got to be wary of our mind. And before we know it, by the time we end up giving that person any money, we've ended up giving them some quarters, nickels and dimes. When we originally start out saying we were going to get $5. And that's just an example. There are so many other different things that we the soul gives us to do, and we make changes and corrections to, instead of just doing what it is that the soul said do. And then we walk around wondering why things ain't going how we want it to go for the higher us. Because we're not listening to the guidance that's getting us to the place where we can have the highest us. Because we think we know more than what it is that we're doing. Which is true, but we're not listening to what it is that's going to lead us to the higher us. You go to school, if you don't pay attention to what it is that the teacher say, you can't get the test right.
Right.
So if you're not paying attention to what it is that you are telling yourself, who is it that loves you more than you love yourself?
God.
Does anybody know? I heard somebody say God. God loves you more than you love yourself. Why is that?
I'm assuming that was the wrong answer.
No, not really. But I'm saying, why do you think God loves you more than you love yourself?
Because we're harder on ourselves than he might be, you know?
Okay, and I can understand you saying that, and what you're saying is true, that God loves you more than you love yourself, and that's only because God knows you, and he knows that you are him. Or you know, God knows that we are one. So this is why God loves you in spite of. They talk about this agape love. This is why, because God knows that you are a part. We are all one.
See, I think that's a concept that is very hard for people to grasp, God being a part of you. Because, see, God, if you can grasp the concept of God being a part of you, then you can also grasp the concept that God might not have been Jesus. So there's a whole lot of things happening here that, you know, if you talk, like, in fact, I had a conversation with a young lady at work today, and then we were talking about God, Jesus, and I said to her, I believe Jesus was an awesome prophet, and that stopped everything. I mean, as far as being engaged in conversation, I mean, when I said it stopped it, we were just casually talking, but when I said that, hold on, brother, let's talk for a minute. And I said, okay, so we talked. And when I asked her, do you believe that God's breath is inside of you? Yes. Okay, so we believe that. So do you believe also that if God took his breath from you, that you would not exist anymore? And we found common ground there. So I said, why can't you believe that God is in you and you are godly? And we kind of got majorly derailed at that point.
You know why?
Yes, because for and we talked, and she told me again, she believed what she believed, and I told her, I said, sister, listen, we're just two people having a conversation. I'm not trying to convince you. You don't try to convince me. I'll share with you what I believe. You share with me what you believe, and then we'll continue having the kind of day that we were having before we started talking. So, again, just to kind of I'm not trying to convert you or convince you. I'm just simply saying to you that this is what I believe. Now, I can talk to you about it all night long. And if you never believe what I believe, I would appreciate if at no point during the conversation, if I had to be crazy because we believe different things. But the God, getting back to the godly part, that was hard to grasp, because then what about Jesus is what she said. And I said, what about Jesus? Jesus was here. Jesus was a man. But Jesus was, oh, wait a minute, hold on. And then, you know, we got into the whole, I haven't used the word in the Trinity. Yeah, we got into the whole Trinity. And it was just funny that, again, we left there saying we'll meet on Wednesday and we'll have a, during our lunch, we'll have another conversation about this. But it was funny because as long as we were talking about God, we were talking, it was like we were in the same room. As soon as we broke it out to the point that if you have that direct connection with God, see, she believes that you have to have the personal relationship with Jesus, and then you can go to God. And I said, you know, what if I showed you a direct connect, or introduced you to a direct connect? Because that's what I have.
That's
so,
right.
Yeah, the conversation about God was, it was funny because it was all you heard was, from both sides. And she had asked me questions, I'd respond the same. But once we got to talking about Jesus and my belief that God wasn't Jesus, we got a lot to talk about. In fact, you'll probably, next Sunday night she's off, I invited her to the podcast and I told her, we don't argue, we discuss. And at the end of the podcast, you still can believe whatever it is you want to believe, because you're not going to hear this message and grasp this message the first time you hear it. So I'm not trying to convert you, but it's good that you can come on and share what you believe, because that's what it's about. We all believe, because
one of the things we got to make clear when we say, when we speak to him, God, Jesus was God. Jesus was God.
In the same manner,
you know what I mean?
that I am.
Right. That's correct. That's
See,
correct.
Again,
exactly.
Yeah. Of course.
And that's the part that I know that. Yeah.
Right.
That's the part that they're not trying to hear.
Yes.
Right.
Now you done bump your head. Even though Jesus has said the exact same thing to him.
That's right.
This is what really vexes me with them, is the fact that Jesus said this to them. Why marvel at the things that I do? You'll be able to do this and much more.
Amen.
But because they've gotten into that belief that we are unworthy and that we are separate from God, then they don't. Then they can't believe who we really are, because we think that we're separate. But don't you know that if there was a way, which there isn't, if there was a way for you to be separated from God, you would not be. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Now, somebody explain to me, because I'm not trying to walk around here like I'm no professor or I've got any degrees in anything, but fullness thereof, what does that mean?
Everything. There's nothing,
everything.
I mean, anything that is a part of whatever that thing is the fullness thereof. There's nothing left out. It's not like everything
right.
except that. No, fullness is full.
Full. God is life, okay? And if we start using that and understanding, God is truly life. We call it God, but it's really life. You can use it in any, you can use God or you can use life, and it will be the same. So every living thing is a part of God. Why? Because God is life. And this is why I've said, I don't know if you guys can remember, in a lot of the podcasts earlier on, I said that it does not matter if you believe that God is God. That doesn't offend him. When you know who you are you going to get mad because somebody thinks you something else? When you know? Especially when you're God. And what we have to understand that is, it goes on. It goes on with or without you. And this is why there is no need for God to be upset because you don't believe in him. It's not mandatory. But you will come to understand this, that it's life. All living things come from the source. And if it comes from the source, that means it's part of the source. It's living. You're living. The trees, they're living. They're part of the source. You got to understand, when he created this, he had nothing. So since he had nothing and he got, what did he use? He used himself. And I'm saying himself, but it used what it was to create what is. This is why he said, I am that I am. I'm everything. I'm Alpha, I'm Omega, the beginning and the end. I am everything. So if he is everything, doesn't that include us?
That would include everything.
But we've been told that, no, this other little creature rose his head up and went to battle with God. And God kind of lost because his greatest creation, us, is now doomed to a fiery pit for eternity. Which one of you guys would throw yourselves into a fiery pit forever? Your child. Okay, because your child is a part of you. In spite of whatever it is that child may do, who's throwing their child into a pit for eternity?
Not me.
Amen.
But this great, loving, caring, forgiving God would do that? We wouldn't do it, but he would? So this is why religion, and please understand, religion served its purpose. The religion has gotten us to this far. And you see the shape we're in, but religion has kind of held us from just going crazy. So I'm not knocking religion truly, but I just want us to know that there is another way. There is another way that is so much more easier and abundantly for us. And all we have to do is start walking in the knowledge of who we are. And each and every one of us can give an example how, because we are coming more aware of who we are, we've seen some drastic changes in situations.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Situations that any other time, we'd be blaming the devil. We'd be blaming the devil for this and that, and we'd be seeing things that aren't so. But now that I have awakened, and I'm beginning to see a little clearly, and when I say see a little clearly, I'm not talking about my 20/20 vision, which I don't have, but I'm not talking about my vision with from my eyesight, but I'm talking about the vision from the inner me. I'm beginning to better understand what is going on around me. I'm beginning to see God at work in each and everything. And this is why the messenger is always telling everybody, all things is working together for the good of God.
Amen.
Which is us.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
When I say that to religious people, then they want to add the rest of the scripture, and that's fine, those that are called. Don't they understand that we are all called? But because of their limited thinking, they think it's just to a select few. They truly believe, now through all of this, They don't even take the time to understand. As the co-producer have reminded us on numerous occasions, Jesus didn't even come back here for them. According to their doctrine, Jesus didn't come back here for us. He came back here just for the Jews. And they received him not. So, because the Jews didn't receive him not, he went to the cross to save us. What? God has no authority. God has no power if we listen to what it is that they're saying. Because they say when he went to the cross, he took all the sins, he saved us. but we're still sinning and we're still in line to go to hell. So what did he really do when he came? It's so much put into the dying and the cross, Easter Sunday, Good Friday. It's so much emphasis put on that. But tell me, what did it do? As baby girl would say, I'll wait. What did it do? You know what I mean? That dying that they proclaimed. It's the blood that saved us. Did it really save us? If we're still destined for hell, did it really save us? But we think this. You know, as the brother was saying, don't talk about my Jesus. Don't talk about my Jesus. But then what did it do? He came with the message, just like each and every one of us. Jesus came with a message, trying to show us how we can have life and have it more abundantly. And instead of them taking the message, they took him after he was dead for 400 years. Then they lifted him up. And I think it's important for us to understand the next time, ask somebody to find out about he's the guy that I told you had the same miraculous birth that Jesus had, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Tell him to find out. Yeah, do a little research and find out how he was born. The story of his birth. And this was before Jesus' time. It's identical to Jesus. The same way Moses' story is identical to the Buddha. And the Buddha was here before Moses. But if you ask any Christian about Buddha, they think it's some crazy stuff. You tell anybody the story about a Scientologist or the Mormons, they would tell you that's some crazy stuff. But stop and think about the stuff that they want you to believe as a Christian.
Right.
Don't tell me that ain't no crazy stuff. But we choose to believe and accept those that we want to believe, instead of just hearing what it is that is really so. And the only way you can do that is by going within. And have a talk with God. And I guarantee you, if you have that talk with him and you listen, because that's the problem, we're not listening. We listen whenever we want to listen. But here's a challenge I give to the podcast tonight. Try listening to him 4 out of 5 things that when you talk to him and he answer you. Try doing those 4 out of 5 and see what those 4 out of 5 lead you to 6 out of 8 and then 9 out of 10. Because he's always going to tell you what's best for the higher you, if that's what you want. If you want to be the best you that you can be today, then what you need to do is listen to the one that knows you and knows the way to make you be the best. So it's really kind of simple for us. We're just making it hard, and we need to get up off the milk and start having some of the meat now. When I was a child, I act as a child, all right? But now that we are of adults, we need to use what it is that God has given us. And he's given us a lot of stuff so that we can be able to, so that we can be able to create the best you that you can be. And I keep saying that, but I want us to understand it's not in a selfish way. It's in a way that we can be better, and as we be better, we can make others better around us. Being the source. Being the source for happiness. Being the source for laughter. If you want to laugh more, make somebody laugh.
Mm-hmm.
Next thing you know, y'all get into a joke-telling thing.
Mm-hmm.
But we've got to understand that we can do more instead of just sitting back, talking, waiting for, excuse me, something to just drop in our laps. It can drop in our laps, but we've got to do the steps to make it drop in our laps. We have that authority. We have that creative ability. We've all spoken things into existence on numerous occasions. That's part of who you are. God spoke all of this into existence. I say this, and I want people to really, really comprehend it. If you think about what is it that God can do that you can't do? Now, I'm not saying in the speed, but just what is it that he can do that you can't do? If we really think about it, what is it that God can do that you can't do? So why is it so hard for us to accept the fact that we are part of the body? We could sing about it, we could talk about it, but we can't believe it. They got a song, "The Jesus in Me Loves the Jesus in You." You can use Jesus if you want. Is the same. Try the Spirit by the Spirit, because it is all one. But the reason why people can't accept and understand this is, once again, because we keep looking at this outer shell, and we think that this outer shell is who we really are. And we talk about it, but the brother mentioned the Trinity. The Trinity, mind, body, and soul. What is that? That's what we are, mind, body, and soul, Trinity.
Mm-hmm.
And that's only applicable in this stage, in this realm of life. We'll get to the realm where it's the duality of man. We'll get to this where it's all singular. Where
hey,
20 and 20 is still one. Yes, sir.
Yeah, when you ask that question, what can God do that I can't? I just got a message that forgive was an answer someone sent in.
Forgive? But you can forgive.
You can, yeah. You have the ability. You sure do.
Can't you forgive? We forgive people all the time.
Yeah. Sure can. Now, whether or not we choose to do it is another thing. But we can.
Listen to Sister Carmen preach.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Hey, sister.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, who hasn't forgiven somebody?
I have.
Everybody has.
Okay, so why do we think that that's something
we
that God can do and we can't do?
Right.
See, and the reason why that was said is because, once again, we think that there's something that we got to do to get to this place called heaven. And so that's why they say God can forgive and we can't, because God's forgiveness can get you into heaven. But what we have to understand is we have no, that's only this place that we want to call heaven. We can't go anywhere but there. If that is where God is, that is where you will be also. You have to understand that you are part of the body. And with you being part of the body, you will be where the body is. But that was a good try, forgive. But we can forgive. Then they say, okay, well, we can't raise the dead. Think about it. How many people have been on a hospital deathbed?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Have somebody brought them back to life?
Sure did.
Amen.
Now, we until we get to know who it is that we are, we can't do it with the quickness because we still don't believe. But when we know that we know, it will be done with the quickness just as if you were God, as God, because that's who you are. And I don't, and it's important because we're not used to hearing that, and so we take that as if we're trying to, in any way whatsoever, belittle God or make God out to be nothing, and that's not so. What I'm trying to get us to understand is that we are more than what we want to accept ourselves to be. We're not filthy rags. When this was all put together, he knew exactly what he was doing. The Spirit knew exactly what it was doing when it created all of this. And for us to think that somewhere along the line he messed up, and since he messed up, he hasn't been able to get it right yet. Now think about that. Is that really a God you want to serve?
Mm-mm, no. Mm-mm.
Since I said that, why would God need us to serve him? By us serving him, what does that do for God? Are we saying God is just some kind of jealous person? He just needs to be glorified at all times? Or else he's going to be mad? Why does God need us to serve him? And with us serving him, what are we doing? Right. With us serving him, and that I don't understand as far as serving. How are we serving God? They like to say it, but how are we really serving God? With our praise and worship? God, and if you want to praise God and worship God, what you do is you go out each day and try to be the best you that you can be.
Amen.
And give thanks. That's all it is. It's about giving thanks that you're able to. But all of this praising and all of this stuff, that's not requirement of God. That's a requirement of man, not God. Who's ever had a conversation with God and God told them, bow down on your knees and worship me? In all of your conversations with God, has he ever told you that?
Not yet. Mm-mm.
Not yet? He ain't going to never tell you. Why would God want to worship his own self? You understand what I mean? Because that's who we are. We are part of him. By going out and being the best that we can be each day, that's our gift back to God, per se.
That's right.
What we have to understand is we are God in the flesh, and all we're doing is being able to allow God to experience being God through us. That's all it is. The same way, quote unquote, the story about Jesus coming down in the flesh. That's what we are, in the flesh, God in the flesh.
Mm.
And I just find it hard for us to believe, especially in this age and time, that, oh, we can believe a story 600 years ago, but we can't believe it now. Even though we are doing the same thing that Jesus was doing. And I got to tell you, that's some shabby storytelling when you could tell me about somebody 13 years old and then don't bring him up again until he's 30. What happened? What happened? If he was doing, if he was quote unquote doing these so-called godly things that people want to give, you know, are saying about him, so he didn't do anything from 14 to 29.
Hey, folks, listen, that brings our podcast to an end. Hey, Brother Message, I was sitting on the side like Uncle Roy, waiting for my moment to dip in here and snatch that microphone.
Amen.
Yeah. All right, bro.
But listen, hey, our hour's up. I thank everyone for coming out. And again, if nobody else got something out of this podcast tonight, co-producer did. Hey, so good evening. We'll see everybody Thursday.
Thank you.
In fact, we're going to have a conference through the week and see if it's possible that we move all Hodge to Hodge podcasts up to 9 o'clock.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah.
Cool.
So we'll talk about that through the week, and I'll have something posted on Facebook, but we hope to move all podcasts up to 9 o'clock and expand our viewing, or excuse me, our listening audience. So good night, everybody.
Good night.
This is co-producer saying good night.
Good night.
Good night, all.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.